Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who he has chosen as his own inheritance." Psalm 33:12. Notice the last part, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Do you know the Bible says that you have not chosen him, but he has chosen you? If you have been drawn into relationship with him, it is not because you woke up one day and had a righteous thought. It's not because you decided, I want to be good. It is because God Almighty chose you and wants relationship with you. We need to get a hold of this and understand that he wanted us first. Many times we just hope that maybe he will want us. He already wanted you. So much so that Jesus died for you. He loves you. And so we are to be the change. We've been talking this whole month about praying for those in authority. But do you know that we will be the change in our country as we are fully committed and fully submitted to God Almighty? Because then our light will shine so bright. And it won't be because we're religious and trying to make everybody else live up to this standard of religiosity. It will be because we are so in love with the Lord Jesus that it reflects out of our lives everywhere we go, everything that we do. And so, Romans 1:16 is what I'm going to preach on tonight. It says, you can stand and we'll read this. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Let's read it one more time. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Okay, everybody together now. Let's all read this together. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Thank you. You can be seated. Now we're going to show a short clip of a movie. This movie is called The Case for Christ. It is very good. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. There's a documentary called The Case for Christ. This is the story movie. And this is the story of how Lee Strobel, who was an atheist by choice, he was an adamant atheist. And you'll see the beginning of what happened that the Lord began through God's sovereignty. God began because of placing someone, and that woman was not ashamed to speak about Jesus in a moment that God led her and gave her an opportunity. And because of that, what happened is God began to stir something in his wife, because Lee Strobel's wife, which he is a renowned speaker and author, but his wife, because of what this woman says in this clip, she just could not, she started thinking. Because she was an atheist, their whole family was atheist. And she just started thinking about Christianity and about God, and it just kind of twirled and twirled in her mind. And she finally went to see this lady that you'll see at her job, talked to her some more, and through what God began doing, she got saved, the wife got saved. Well, Lee Strobel was so adamant that this was nonsense that he went on a quest to disprove Christianity, to show her that it was a bunch of hogwash so that she would let it go. And in the process of all of this research he did as a journalist, everything that he kept trying to push and trying to discount Christianity, he became a Christian. But this is how it began. So play that clip, Josiah. So that right there, what she did, that word when she said, "It's not luck, it's Jesus." It changed the course of Lee and his wife's life and their children and all the people that have been impacted. If we as Christians would not be ashamed of the joy and the power that we have, if we would really and truly be in love with Jesus, it would come out in our conversations. For years, I thought that witnessing had to be an awkward conversation between you and somebody that really didn't want to hear what you have to say, but you know, and we make witnessing that that's what it is, that I have to have this awkward conversation with somebody feeling like I'm a salesman selling something that they really don't want to buy. And the sad thing is, as Christians, we can become salesmen trying to sell something that we really act like we don't even believe in. I mean, you know, we know that we should, and we know that other people should. But listen, when you fall in love with Jesus, just like ask any grandparent in here. How hard do you have to push to get them to talk about their grandchildren? Most of them, it's not very hard. Why is that? Because they love them so much. You ask them a question and it just keeps going, you know, because they love them. Listen, if we as Christians would fall in love with Jesus, if we would open our life up to him so that more and more and more of our life is enveloped with thoughts of him, how we can please him, what we should do, what he would want us to do, how he would want us to respond, what he would want us to watch and say, and where he would want us to go, it will come out everywhere that we are. And in those moments, now listen, I used to feel very condemned. And it wasn't because of my parents. It was within myself. I was so concerned that every person that I met all the time that I should be witnessing to, so much so that I got to the place for a little bit in my life where I just didn't want to leave my house. I thought, if I leave my house, God will tell me to witness to somebody and I will not do it and I will be disobedient. And it really almost became a stronghold in my life. I mean, to the point that it was a serious thing. I have learned I don't have to do it by myself. It is not that I have to go out and win the world by myself. It is that I walk with Jesus. Do you know that Acts 4, verse 20, in the New Living Translation, when I read this verse and when God revealed this to me years ago, like I don't even remember at what point, I don't know if I heard it preached on, but I remember that there was such hope to me in this verse, because the disciples, this is when they pulled the disciples in front of the Pharisees, and they said to them, stop talking about him. We told you not to preach in that name. And the disciples, Peter and John, they said, we cannot stop telling. This is the New Living Translation. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. In the New King James, it says, we cannot but tell. And that gave me such hope. I'm like, wait, so you can be so full that it literally is spilling out of your mouth that you just can't help it. That is awesome to me. And as Christians, we make it, like I said, to where it's, we feel like we become salesmen. Listen, it is not, we're not salesmen. We are to be people in love and understanding what he has given to us, so full and so understanding the good news that we want to share it with other people. But also, we get to be spirit-led. Listen, I could lay out the gospel plan of salvation to every checkout person at Walmart while people are waiting in line behind me. That is not necessarily God's plan. That's not necessarily what he wants me to do. And it might be lost on them. We have to be led by the Spirit. But if we are being led by the Spirit, because it says, they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If we are being led by the Spirit, many times in a moment, just like that, we can say, you know what? That was Jesus. I talked to a lady at Walmart the other day that I've had opportunities witnessing to before in the past. And we have a good relationship. We're like acquaintances because we don't talk that much. But we have a good relationship. And we were talking about the hurricane and everything that happened. And I was just sharing with her what the word says and what God has been teaching me through the process. And, you know, it really wasn't hard. It wasn't awkward. That's exciting to me because I used to think it would have to be so hard. It doesn't. When we're just full of Jesus, it can just come out in our daily life. And listen, if we're not, we can say to God, God, would you just make me hungry for you so that I can be so full of you? And I just have a desire to share about you. That's the beauty of Christianity. Everything that we do, it doesn't have to come from our own effort by ourselves. It comes from, God, I need you in this situation because I don't have enough on my own. I need you. I need to hear you. I need your boldness. I need your wisdom. I need to see people like you see them. I need to respond like you would have me to respond. And as we spend time with him, then he will come out of us. And so I am not ashamed of the gospel. Ashamed means reluctant to do something through fear of embarrassment or humiliation. I'm just going to tell you, I know what it means to be intimidated. I was intimidated a large part of my life by a lot of people. Just because of the type of personality that I had, I was intimidated by people. And there was a time in my life where I said to the Lord, God, I don't want to feel this anymore. I don't want to be intimidated anymore. And it was like that began a work that God began to just bring me out of that. As Christians, we do not have to be intimidated by other people. We don't have to be intimidated by the enemy. We serve a great God. And so we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel means good news. It is a good message. And we sometimes get bogged down in what Christianity we think it is, and it becomes going through the motions, and it's not about Jesus, and it's not about how good he is, and it's not about the good news that God rescues and saves and heals people. It becomes about all these things that you have to do and all these things that you have to give up and, you know, all these expectations and all these other people that have done all these wrong things and all of that, man, it gets lost on the good news. The gospel is the good news. It is a good message that Jesus came to set us free from hell, that all of us are going to spend an eternity somewhere, and that because Jesus died on the cross, we don't have to spend it in hell. That is the good news. But we lose sight of eternity. We start living for today. We get bogged down in what we're thinking and feeling and what other people are doing, and we lose sight of what the good news really is. But we can ask God, even in that, we can ask God, God, would you just help me? I had to ask him to help me the other day because I was just struggling and, you know, with everything going on. And I, you know, God has really been good. He has really been faithful to just help me to remember, you know, what's really important. But I just had some moments of flesh and I just had to say, God, would you just help me to keep my perspective straight? Listen, we just need to be honest with him. When we get in the flesh, we need to say to God, God, I am in the flesh and I need you to help me to get back in the spirit. I need you to help me to see this situation like you do. I need you to help me to see things in light of eternity. And God's not like, oh my gosh, they're so needy. I wish they would just get it together. You know, he's not like that. Listen, I have teenagers now. I have two teenagers. Most of you know that. I love it when they come to me. Because their lives get so busy and they're so, and I keep telling myself, you know, this is normal. They're going to just want to be gone more and more and do things without their mama. You know, that's just normal. But I love it when they come to me. Listen, we need to understand God loves it when we come to him. When we're just honest and when we say to him, God, I see this need in my life where it's not measuring up to where I should be. But God, I can't get there on my own. I need you to help me. And that requires humility on our part. That requires us not being independent and trying to do it on our own and thinking that we're good enough to get it accomplished on our own. It requires humility. But humility, the Bible says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When we choose humility, we can choose to accept his grace. And I don't know about you, but I would rather have his grace any day. And the moments that I wouldn't is because I'm too focused on myself. And all the reason more I need to repent for pride and get my eyes back on him. He gives grace to the humble. So the good news, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Notice what that says. The good news is the power of God to salvation. That word power, in Thayer's definition, it means strength, power, and ability. I love that when I read those things. The good news is the ability. It is the power that Jesus lives within us, that he is our strength when we're weak. Strong's, the Greek, Hebrew and Greek dictionary, that word power means a force, specifically miraculous power. Do you know that good news in general has power? If you had cancer and I told you they have found a cure and it is free, that good news has power. It would change your whole outlook. It would change your attitude. It would change your mood. It would change the way that you view your circumstances. If I told you, you have won $1 million, that good news has power to change your attitude, to change your mentality, to change your plans. Good news has power. We lose sight of how good the good news is. Why? Because like I said earlier, we get bogged down in just life in general. Listen, as Christians, we don't have to live that way. We can live above the circumstances because we serve a God who can walk on the water. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Jesus can hold our hand and walk us through whatever we're going through, and we can walk in the miraculous. The gospel is the good news that we can receive salvation. The word salvation, it means rescue or safety, physically or morally, deliver, help, save. We forget the power of the good news. Salvation is good news. It is good news. Notice he said, for I am not ashamed. Not, I wasn't ashamed last year when I went on a mission trip. Not, I wasn't ashamed the other day when I was in church. I am, present tense, all the time. That's the goal, is that we stay in present tense. How do we do that? How do we stay, I am not ashamed? Not, I was a while ago when I was doing better, when, you know, I had a moment. Because those moments are good. But listen, God is an I am. He is a present tense God. The same as I love my husband. But if we had a good moment a year ago, that's not enough. We need to have good moments on a consistent basis. We need to have close moments on a consistent basis. I am not ashamed, not just I was. How do we do that? We stay in present tense relationship with Jesus. We keep him prioritized in our lives, in our conversation. Because what you put into your life and heart and mind is what's going to come back out. Whatever you are become excited about and spend a lot of time thinking about is going to come out of your mouth. Now, my husband, you know, most of y'all know my husband loves sports. He, and it's funny because I didn't grow up, my dad never watched sports. You know, my dad liked to buy and sell cars and houses and, you know, that kind of thing. But he didn't do sports. Rick likes sports. I won't say he loves it, though, because his life does not revolve around sports. Most games he records and sits fast forward and watching them on fast forward. I mean, he likes sports. And so sometimes he talks about it, but he loves Jesus. We have to, everything else needs to pale in comparison. And when we find ourselves so full and excited about something that it's the only thing we can talk about, that's how we need to be with Jesus. So we need to ask him, God, would you help me to love you as much as I love this TV show that I can't help but talk about? Or as much as I love this other person? Or as much as I love this other thing? Would you help me to love you that much? That you come out of me all the time? Because I'm just hungry for you and I'm thinking about you and I want to please you all the time? The more you think about Christ, the more you spend time desiring to please him, the more he becomes your priority, the more it will come out of your mouth. Like I said, it doesn't have to be forced all the time. It can be an outflow of who we are, of our relationship with him. And so we are supposed to share the truth that we live that is actively changing our lives. If we are ashamed, because I have had moments, and I will admit, I struggled with being ashamed of the gospel, with worrying about what people were going to think of me, and worrying about if I brought it up in conversations, what people are going to think about. But if we are ashamed to speak about him, we need to ask ourselves why. Because it is a very serious thing. And Mark, we'll read that in a minute, but it says that we aren't to be ashamed of him. If we are, we need to repent and change our attitude. I want to read a quick story to you. It's from Nigeria. This happened in Nigeria. Fire, fire, the neighbors shouted, alerting Adu's mother that her tiny thatched home was on fire. Flames shot from the roof and walls and smoke filled the hut. Mother managed to escape, but then she realized that her baby boy was still inside the house. Ignoring the flames and thick smoke that billowed out of the doorway, she ran into the house to rescue her baby. Neighbors held their breath as seconds passed and the flames grew brighter. At last, mother emerged from the burning hut with her baby held close to her body. The little one was safe, but mother had been burned on her arms and face. In time, most of her wounds healed, but her once beautiful face was forever scarred by the fire. Adu grew to be a strong boy. He noticed that his mother's face didn't look like the other mother's faces, but he didn't ask why. Someone had told him the story of how his mother had saved him from the fire when he was a baby, but he didn't realize that the scars on his mother's face had come because of her love for him. One day when he was playing with his friends, someone made fun of Adu's mother's face. The boys laughed, but Adu ran home so his friends wouldn't see the tears forming in his eyes. Adu hurried into his hut and sat down. When his mother came in, she could see that her usually happy boy was quiet. "Is something wrong, my son?" she asked. Adu thought for a moment and then asked, "Mama, what happened to your face?" "Why do you ask, my son?" his mother questioned, stiffening a bit but trying to be calm. "The boys. One of them told another boy that he was ugly, like Adu's mother," Adu blurted out. "What happened to your face?" Mother was quiet for a moment. Then she stood up and walked to her drawer and pulled something out. She gave it to Adu. It was a photograph of a beautiful young woman. Adu studied the picture and then looked at his mother. "Is that you?" he asked. "Yes, it was taken before the fire." Adu knew about the fire. He knew that his mother had pulled him from his bed and saved his life, but he had not thought about what her unselfish act had cost her. Adu stood and hugged his mother. Now he understood. His mother had risked everything for him. Without her unselfish act, he surely would have died in that fire. He looked up into his mother's face. It was no longer scarred and wrinkled to him. It was beautiful. It was the face of love. Adu squeezed his mother tightly. To me, you are beautiful. Even more beautiful than your picture. He realized what she had done and what it meant. We forget what Jesus did for us. We minimize what he did because we forget. We just get caught up in life and we forget how much his scars meant, what he suffered for us, and what that suffering gives us and offers us. Jesus suffered for us to have salvation, for us to be rescued from hell and righteous before God and healed. And so many times we take that for granted. And it's sad that often those of us that know it the most, we can take it for granted the most. And we need to be careful about that because to whom much is given, much is required. We can get bogged down in living for the moment so that we forget what's really important. Our goal should be to consistently live for eternity. We need to ask ourselves consistently, how will the moments that I'm spending impact eternity? How will what I'm saying and doing count for eternity? What is really my ultimate goal, and how does my life show that I'm living to achieve that goal? If we have to work to bring up Jesus or his word or his truth in conversation, we need to ask him to help us to think of him more often. We can do that. Say, God, would you just show me how to invite you into more of my life? How to make you a part of every conversation, of what I'm doing, of what how I'm living? Because if we live to please him every moment, it becomes easier to not be ashamed of the gospel. As we find ourselves living to please him more than ourselves or anyone else, the way that we look at things and situations begins to change. Polycarp was a martyr, and when he was brought before the proconsul urged him and said, "Reproach Christ, and I will set you free." Polycarp's response was, "86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and savior?" "I have wild animals here," the proconsul said. "I will throw you to them if you do not repent." "Call them," Polycarp replied. "It is unthinkable for me to repent from what is good and turn to what is evil. I will be glad, though, to be changed from evil to righteousness. If you despise the animals, I will have you burned." "You threaten me with fire," Polycarp said, "which burns for an hour and is then extinguished. But you know nothing of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. Why are you waiting? Bring on whatever you want." He was so dedicated and his eyes were so fully fixed on Jesus that nothing else mattered. Whatever they did to him, it didn't matter. Mark 8:34-38, and I want to end with these verses. Jesus said, "Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me.'" This is New Living Translation. "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" You know, it's so beautiful to walk with God. I was asking God because, like I said, I know that he has helped me with this flooding thing, you know. And I said to God, because I just know that God is going to restore, and I'm just going to be so excited about how my house looks afterwards. And I said to God, "God, I don't want to hold on to it any tighter when you restore it." And it was like that quick the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Don't you think I can help you then if I'm helping you now? Like, no matter what we go through, whether he gives us more or less, if we're walking with him as we learn to walk with him, and I am still learning. I said I had a moment of, you know, struggle. I'm still learning. But as we learn to walk with him, wherever we are, whether we have more or less, he is enough. And he strengthens us to be able to walk wherever we are, because he's that big and he's that good and he's that faithful. Verse 37, is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We become ashamed when we care more about what the person we're talking to thinks than we do what God Almighty thinks. And I remember when this verse convicted me, and it still does sometimes, but I remember thinking, God, forgive me. You know, I care more about the person that I'm talking to and what they think than I do what you think. God, would you help me to care what you think more than what anybody else thinks? Because your opinion matters more than anybody else. We can walk there. That's where Polycarp was. He thought, it doesn't matter. Bring the wild animals on. I don't care. I will not deny him. Why? Because, like I said, his eyes were so fully fixed on Jesus. We can live that way. We can live that way. And as we walk closer to him, it really is a joy to walk with him. It really is a joy to be able to say, God, whatever, just help me to please you in everything that I do, in everything that I say. As we draw closer to him, he draws closer to us. And then his opinion matters more to us. Polycarp was so focused on the opinion of his king and savior that what others thought simply mattered less. His just mattered more. I think he was just so focused on him that what everybody else thought just didn't matter. Or if it did matter, it mattered less than what Jesus thought. If we as God's people would truly fall in love with him, would learn to desire his will above all else, and to be pleasing him to him more than self or others, it would allow us to be truly unashamed. So I want to play this song, and I just want to challenge you. I am learning the joy of being anxious for nothing by presenting everything to God with thanksgiving. And wherever you find yourself prayerfully, this message touched you in some way. That something in the scripture that the Holy Spirit has made real to you. You then take that truth to God Almighty and you say, God, will you help me to change in this area? Will you help me to become more like you, Lord Jesus? We don't just take it and walk out feeling guilty. That's not going to do you any good. You take that. If the Holy Spirit convicts you, you admit, Holy Spirit, I see that you have highlighted this area of my life that needs to change. God, I bring it to you. I confess it, and I ask you to help me to change it. And then if we walk every day like that, not just in church for an hour or two or three, but if we walk every day, God, would you just help me to be pleasing to you? And when God wakes us up in the morning and says, spend time with me, or when he says, turn off the television and spend time with me, or when he says, you don't need to watch that anymore because it's giving you the wrong perspective, spend time with me instead, or just don't watch it. As we do that, then we open more and more and more and more of our life up to him. And we love him more, and we experience more of his presence, and it is a beautiful thing. And I'm trusting him to continually do that with me, because I want to walk closer to him every day. And I'm just praying, God, show me the things that need to change in my life. Help me to be honest with myself and honest with you so that I can change and grow. So as this song plays, I just want to end with this song. Just make it a prayer. If part of the song that you see, you go, yeah, that's, I can't really say that. Make it a prayer. Say, God, help me. Help this to be true in my life. So.